Come on.
Are you ready?
Welcome to Dave and Mahoney.
I don't like keeping butter sitting out.
I think that, like, my immunities are stronger.
Your immunities?
Because I was raised on counter butter.
I'm a counter butter buddy.
I am built for tough.
You are one walking preservative.
Dude, I am.
Creepy women are terrifying because it takes a lot for a woman to be creepy.
Because they're psycho.
I feel like all the women who have been super creepy with us, I could beat up. So I'm not like too worried.
I've sized them up as well.
There was one who was like 6 foot tall, 350.
And Mahoney.
My wife kind of gave me the stink eye.
Well, what did you do?
She had a dream.
What'd you do in her dream?
I hired 10 prostitutes. What am I going to do with 10 women simultaneously?
You're going to call me.
What am I going to line them up in the hall? All right, next.
All right.
And now, this is Dave and Mahoney.
Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us on this Wednesday. Got some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
Yeah, some bad news, at least for the people who had all of their cash stolen. Of course, I'm talking about that $30 million heist that happened in Los Angeles. It happened over Easter weekend. They broke into this facility that was holding this huge amount of cash. They believe it was probably an inside job because I guess the alarms had been tripped leading up to this heist. Almost intentionally is what they're assuming to make it seem like if an alarm did go off, it would be a false alarm once again. Alarms, I guess, didn't go off. These people got away with $30 million in cash, and they are in the wind. One of the biggest cash heists in U.S. history.
I kind of love this, Dave. I like smart criminals.
Okay.
They didn't hurt anybody.
No.
Nobody died. Just some money's gone, and nobody can find them.
I don't feel like your money is insured, though. I don't know whose money it was, and I don't really care, frankly. But I don't
if
feel like...
If you got $30 million sitting around in a warehouse that ain't insured,
yeah,
that's on you, bro.
Yeah.
That is on you.
I'm really curious because, you know, the idea of this being made into, like, a true crime thing, it's only a matter of time,
for
right?
For sure.
I'm really curious to find out whose cash this is. Like, why do you have...
Walter White's.
$30 million. Like, right? Like, could it be something like that where it's like some cartel had $30 million stored in a warehouse in L.A.?
It was Lavelle Crawford laying on it. That's what I wanted.
Scene.
That is the
Such
best.
A great scene from Breaking Bad. Absolutely love it. But yeah, $30 million, these guys are in the wind right now.
Did you know Lavelle Crawford, again, who was in Breaking Bad and, you know, stand-up comedian, is a big fan of jiu-jitsu? I believe he may be a black belt.
No way, not a jiu-jitsu.
Stop it.
Oh, yeah. He's lost a ton of weight since filming Breaking Bad.
Black belts is not like the same as karate. Like, it takes a long time to get up there.
No, a jiu-jitsu black belt is
legit.
Yeah, I mean, especially if it's coming from, you know, an esteemed, jiu-jitsu practitioner. But, yeah, no, Lavelle Crawford, big into jiu-jitsu and golf.
Do you know that Al Bundy, Ed O'Neill, in real life, is also, he's a Gracie black belt in jiu-jitsu?
What?
Oh, yeah. He's been
I believe neither of those things.
Like, when I heard that Al Bundy was a Gracie black belt, I was like, what are you talking about?
Both of you are spreading rumors right now. Those are both lies.
Fact.
Look it up.
So, Audrey, I'm curious your take on this. Shamrock is a golden retriever puppy that was born.
Love him.
And I know the reason why he's called Shamrock?
He has three legs.
He's green.
Ew, gross.
Yeah, so his.
I don't like this dog anymore.
I feel like his mom has some explaining to do.
Why
like
is this dog
the golden retriever father's like, oh, really?
Why did the dog turn green?
I guess there's a thing where there's like a green found in the mother's dog's womb, and it's not exclusive to golden retrievers, but you obviously can see it really well with golden retrievers, and they posted the video is circulating on TikTok and other social media of this little green puppy, and you're like, that is wild. So the color is going to fade with time.
Oh, okay.
But she was born, and it looks like she is a little green puppy, which is pretty wild. But again, makes it pretty complicated in the old delivery room for mom and dad when all of a sudden the puppy's green, you know?
I am so annoyed. I just Googled Shamrock Dog Green and all of these little dogs with green top hats appropriating Irish culture.
Those might be legitimate Irish dogs.
That was an Irish setter.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Well, doesn't this sound like a whole lot of fun? You know, tax time has come and gone. April the 15th is in the rearview mirror, but the IRS commissioner has outlined the agency's plans to utilize AI in two main areas.
How so, Dave?
Virtual chatbots for assisting taxpayers.
Uh-huh.
And also identifying potential tax fraud.
No.
And the idea of IRS audits coming via AI is just so exhausting to me.
Well, because, especially because they've already been robbing us with, like, other, like, the online tax things.
Yeah.
Every time I do those, I always end up owing $1 billion to the IRS.
The thing is, like, the IRS, I don't know if you've ever actually had to deal with the IRS before.
I have not, personally.
I have been audited before, and I actually found the process of dealing with the IRS much better than I anticipated, but the reason why...
Well, you weren't cheating your taxes. That's probably...
Well, for sure.
That's probably why it ended up better than you thought.
But I did owe more money than I thought.
Yeah.
It was because my accountant had screwed up and everything else. And long story short, you're right. I wasn't trying to, like, you know, swindle the government.
Right.
But the point is, like, you could actually, like, get somebody on the phone, have a conversation.
Not and anymore.
That human element is what made it better, you know, and
yes,
actually something you could work your way through.
I want to get caught by a person, not a robot, man. I thought we were supposed to be using technology for good. This sounds like technology for evil.
This
and
is
you
evil.
Know this is not going to affect the people who already aren't paying their taxes, like the billionaires. This is only going to hurt people like you and me, the little guy.
This is the exact same thing, in my opinion, as the cameras that they put on street lights to give you tickets for violations, like not wearing your seatbelt or running a light. Look, if I run a light or if I'm speeding and I get caught by a cop, you got me. I did something wrong. I knew that I was doing something wrong and you caught me.
Yep.
But it was man versus man, right? When you're sitting here just farming out these tickets and it's a robot doing it, I don't have any respect for that ticket. That's not a legitimate ticket.
Nope.
And same thing with these IRS audits, which I'm sure is going to hold up in court great. It's not a real audit because an AI chatbot is the one that caught
I want them to look me square in my eyes and
say,
ruin my
you're
life.
You're going to jail.
Yes.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show. You know the songs, but do you know them when they sound this bad? It's Cover Your Ears. A Dave and Mahoney.
Greg is joining us today for a round of Cover Your Ears. You ready to do this thing, Greg?
I'm ready.
30 seconds on the clock for each one of these. Let the full 30 seconds play out before you make your guess. You got a couple of lifelines if necessary. First one here, pretty popular. 298,000 views on this one. Good luck. All right, that's 30 seconds right there. Greg, over to you. Do you know that one?
I have no clue. We get them every day, but I don't.
Okay.
I'm going to have to use a lifeline.
I mean, I think I could get you a half point at best.
I mean,
in this case, does he need a half point, you think, Dave?
I would say let's go ahead and give him the half point.
I mean, I'm going to use a lifeline. This is a guess. I mean, is it Funky Town?
It's Funky Town, yeah. By Lips, Inc. Yeah, Funky Town is what you're looking for. And they did say it there at the end.
Because only because he said Funky Town.
Yeah,
and that was a guess at the song being named Funky Town.
Okay. The next one here has also got, you know, thousands of views, 9,800 views. And this is performed by Eric Cartman from South Park.
Okay,
let's have a listen.
I should have known better than to take a friend and waste our time to dive and give on. Then we're never gonna dance again. Then we are dance with you guys.
Perfect.
Yes.
That was awesome.
It was. Do you know that one, Greg?
George Michael, Careless Whisper.
Yes, sir.
That
Full
song
that
doesn't
one.
Matter who sings it. So good.
It might be even better when Cartman's singing it. That was beautiful.
I don't think that
I would
was
agree.
The actual Cartman. I'm just going to throw that
you
out
don't?
There.
You don't?
I'm just going to throw that out there.
Okay.
Dave.
All right.
So that was Eric himself.
The next one here, performed by Guar, if you know that band.
What's Guar doing here?
They're doing a cover.
Kicking ass.
Kicking ass and taking names.
Okay.
362,000 views on this one. Here we go.
Thank you.
we'll stop it
wow,
right there.
Wow, sound like a garage band.
That is exactly how I thought a Guar cover of that song would go.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
You don't like it. You like it because it's Guar, and you feel like you're supposed to.
You feel like you got street cred because you like Guar.
Shut up.
Guar's like,
shut up.
Nobody actually likes Guar.
No Guar. One.
Guar could be playing in town, and there would be 30 people at the show.
That is untrue.
That's their parents and family and friends.
Untrue. Including the staff.
Oh, you guys are going to, I hope the Guar Army.
The Guar Army.
The Guarmy.
Guarmy. All right, Greg, sorry. Do you know it?
That was worse. That was worse than the first one, and I have no idea.
All right, I bet Mahoney can help
that
you.
That is Carry On My Wayward Son.
Yeah, bye.
From Kansas.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Sorry you couldn't hear past the masks.
Yeah. It's art, I'll have you know.
Sure. All right, Greg.
All the lifelines are gone now.
Lifelines are gone. You have to get at least a half point on this last one in order to win. And it's only got 9 views.
Oh, God.
So,
okay.
Good luck. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Girl, you gotta love your man. Take him by the hand. Make him understand. The world on you depends. Our life will never end. Gotta love your man.
For that guy, it's only got 9 views.
That's like not you bad.
See, it's not as bad as Guar.
It's way better than Guar.
Keep Guar's mouth out. Name out of your mouth, Dave.
All right, for the win, Greg. Do you know it?
The Doors, Riders on a Storm.
Yes, sir.
We got there, kicking and screaming.
Like the fans at a Guar concert.
This is Dave and Mahoney. Blitz, glamour, and out-of-touch celebrities.
Well, that's redundant.
It's Pop Trash.
I'm David Mahoney.
Post Malone really can do it all, right? He's doing country sets. He's doing his own sets when he goes out and performs at different places. Post Malone is a very talented guy, and I'll be totally transparent with you guys. When he first came onto the scene, we've talked about this before. I didn't know what to think of the guy. Like, he's just, you know, he's got an obviously unique look. He's got these face tattoos and everything else. And then you start to get to know his music a little bit more, and I think he broke down a lot of barriers when he did like the Nirvana covers.
Well, you hear what he did with the Spider-Man sound, Into the Spider-Verse soundtrack, you know, Sunflowers, a couple of those Circles. I mean, some of those songs, again, I'm with you, Dave. I 100% judge the book by its cover without reading it, and then the more you read of the book of Post Malone, the more you gotta just love that guy. There's nobody, I think, living a better life doing exactly what they want, how they want, and still doing something at an incredibly high level, more so than Post Malone.
Let me give you another example. So Post Malone's has partnered with Platinum Dunes and Vault Comics, and they have announced a collaboration of a graphic novel and movie with Post Malone creating the original story for it. So he's writing the actual film, and the story, back to your point about him living his best life, revolves around an 18-wheeler sent back to medieval Europe to battle demons with heavy artillery.
This sounds like it should be made yesterday.
Yeah.
And also not kind of a stretch of the imagination when it comes to getting projects like this, getting greenlit. You think Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance, he wrote and produced a lot of the
Umbrella
Academy, which ended up being pretty
good.
Yeah,
it did. And overall, this is no rinky dink operation. So Vault Comics is going to publish the graphic novel next year with Platinum Dunes, which is led by Michael Bay and Brad Fuller, develop the feature film adaptation. I mean, that's big bud stuff that we're talking
about. If you're going to let Michael Bay produce a movie for you, and it's about a tractor trailer that goes back to medieval times and destroys everybody
with a bunch of explosions, perfect.
Just cast Martin Lawrence in there, too.
No question
about it. And we're in.
So Yeezy is a brand that I would say has suffered a bit, considering all of the crazy stuff that Kanye West has done over the years.
Well, yes and no. I mean, they've lost their partnership with Adidas, which certainly cost them quite a bit of money. But as a standstill, they're still making boatloads of money in ways that we kind of didn't expect. I mean, if you remember the Super Bowl,
whole commercial.
Yeah. I mean, and every time I see any social media ad from Yeezy, again, I roll my eyes, but I think he's fallen
from grace from the public stance, but I mean, people are still
his
like...
His fans are his fans.
Oh, yeah. For sure. But he's decided to do something else. Yeezy porn.
He's going to have a porn studio?
He's going to have a porn studio. So I guess he's they're going to have like a whole...
Churches and porn studios?
Yeah.
And schools.
And shoes.
Do the schools and the churches still exist?
I don't think the school exists anymore. I believe that they
got a
bunch of that Dolan Academy or whatever it's called. They were getting sued by a whole bunch of the educators that were there as well as the students. And there was talks about all kinds of crazy stuff behind the scenes. But Kanye West says he plans to venture into the porn industry by launching his own studio and brand.
I mean, if there's anybody who has been a more outspoken fan of pornography, I mean, Kanye West does kind of come out on the top of that list. I mean, you remember that whole... He had basically a whole album dedicated to Kim and Ray J's sex tape. I mean, that's what made him go after Kim is after watching that, which is kind of crazy to think about. So him getting into porn, like, I didn't know this was coming.
It's not shocking.
But not surprised that it is.
And finally, Jelly Roll, who is a very popular artist right now.
Is he going to be their first male star? Tell me.
He is not. He's actually on a different kind of journey right now, and it's a weight loss journey. He said that he wants to lose 250 pounds. I guess he's already lost 70 pounds. And you'll appreciate this, Mahoney, because you're a huge fan of these guys like I am. Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura have talked Jelly Roll into training and doing a 5K with them.
It's a Two Bears 5K or something. I forget exactly what they're going to call it. And
he's walking.
Which, again, you know, I mean, the fact that he's lost 70 pounds already is inspirational, but there's a lot of comics who are getting involved with this, so the fact that they're friendly with Jelly Roll, I mean, that checks out. I mean,
that's awesome.
Bert and Tom's style of humor matches perfectly with Jelly Roll, so, you know, I love the fact that he's found a reason to get healthy and found something that works for him.
He said, you know, he's been very open about his weight, obviously, and his struggles with it. He previously was over 500 pounds. And he said that he wants to lose 250 pounds in total. And I like that the Jelly Roll's doing, you know, what he can to try to lose some weight right now.
But if he gets too skinny, what like, you know, do we call him like lettuce wrap or something?
Lettuce wrap.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
You know, it seems that we hear so much about all of these weight loss drugs that are out there, Ozempic, and a lot of it has to do with all of these celebrities that are on it. And I would say that some of the celebrities maybe have taken it a little too far. Like Sharon Osbourne does not look great.
They call it Ozempic face.
Yeah, where they have the sunken literal skull face. It looks like they've got the buccal fat. What is it? Basically, your cheeks are removed.
Yeah.
And that's something that people have been doing as well, where you're getting the fat removed on purpose from your face to give you that sunken, almost contour, where you can see your cheekbones better.
Is that the bacchanal, or is that
the
just
buccal
a
fat?
Is that a buffet?
I don't know.
The buccal fat. Isn't that where you used to work?
The buccal fat.
As somebody who did a fad diet before, I did the
implant of rhinestones and stuff.
In 2010, Audrey, you and I didn't know each other, but that was my 10-year high school reunion in 2010.
Let's be very clear about this. Mahoney went on a crash diet specifically because he wanted to roll into his 10-year high school reunion looking as hot as possible.
Absolutely. And I did. But I lost 50 pounds in 50 days.
Yeah.
And I lost, you know, it came out from everywhere, but like my head and my face were so weird looking from losing so much weight in the wrong way because it was mostly starvation.
Yeah.
Because I was eating around, I think, 500 or 600 calories a day. And for a person my size who's 6'4", 6'5", that is not a lot of food. It was like 2-3 ounce fillets
and
some
apple.
Vegetables and an apple in the morning.
Yeah.
And it, and drinking like 2 gallons of water a day. It did not look good. So somebody who has done that, like, you know, I know that it's working for a lot of people. I would rather have a fat face than have a sunken in face right now, personally.
Well, so I've got a couple of friends that are on Ozempic, and it's working really well for them. And there's
semaglutides in general, or is it Ozempic specific?
Well, a couple of them are on Ozempic, then another one is on the Wegovy.
Okay.
I mean, so the point is, like, we're actually aware of like numerous name brands that are out there right now. If we think that it's gotten popular already, listen to this. They're saying that the pharmaceutical companies have been gearing up to release 13 new obesity drugs in the coming years.
I am going to continue to stand on this platform until I am blue in the face. We can't even regulate our food properly.
Yeah.
We can't get our food down packed to where we are just now just here's just this cheat code. It just feels, I just wish there was more.
Depends on how it is. I mean, I know that they are working desperately or quickly on making it instead of being an injectable, because that's a turnoff to a lot of people.
Making it a pill.
And yeah. When it becomes a pill,
They're saying that it's, they're projecting that it's going to dramatically affect the food industry in the United States eventually, because one of the big things of the semaglutide is that it suppresses your appetite. And so if you're not eating as much, how does that affect places that, their whole thing is like big portion sizes and everything else, because a lot of restaurants,
well, that actually
buffets,
sounds like a positive to me, because I mean, like, we're the way that we have chicken farms right now, whatever, that they'll go off on a tangent on that, don't get me going, but I mean, that actually sounds like a net positive.
If you are, again, overwhelmed by all of this talk about obesity drugs, just buckle up, because 13 new ones coming down the pipe already.
So if they have a drug that could help me lose weight and give me some male enhancements.
Well, now you want both of those? Like,
at the same time.
Can you transfer all of this fat to
Dave and Mahoney?
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Yeah.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for Dave and Mahoney? Call 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please record your message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Yeah, do you guys make your own coffee, or do you buy it somewhere? And do you like creamer that is sweetened or flavored?
Message deleted.
Julie.
Okay.
Flavored creamer. Black coffee for me, and I feel like that's kind of a hack, because I almost always make my own coffee at home. Like, I'll make it before I leave the house, and I'll bring it with me in the morning. And because of that, like, if I was getting one of those Frappuccino with extra cream and blah, 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 obviously I'm not going to make that at the house, but there's very little point in me going to pay for a coffee in the morning,
like,
because it's just black coffee.
Yeah. That's fair. It depends on my mood. I definitely crave the sugar, though. Like, I am one of those sweet treat people that whatever I'm consuming, because water, bleh. Like, I want my water to taste like lemons. If I'm drinking water, I want, like, 3 lemons in my water.
That seems like a very gender-specific thing to me, because my wife is also like, water, meh. Like, what?
Anti-water.
Unless it's hot and I've been working out or been doing something where I'm exerting, I'm the same way. Yeah. Like, that's why I drink sparkling water. I want something that gives me something other than just meh.
I want something
make you... It's hydration.
Yeah, sure. But there's nothing propelling me forward to want to continue to consume that beverage.
Right.
Not like thirst?
Well, when you get to that point, like, but we're not at the point where we're walking through the desert and we're dehydrated.
I feel like a nice,
not fully hydrated,
cold bottle of water hits. Like, that feels
good. Sure, but
good.
you're adding extra layers to that.
By making it what, cold?
Well, no, because like a nice ice cold water usually sounds great to me as well, but that's because I'm hot. Or because I just finished working out. Like, ice cold water, if I'm already ice cold, that's not great. I don't want ice cold if I'm ice cold.
If it's ice cold, yeah.
Why you got such sensitive teeth?
I don't know. I use Sensodyne, man. That's my toothpaste.
Is it really?
Of choice.
Forever? I don't know, man. Like, I just think that there's better things, and you should try them.
No, there's not. I don't want...
I just think you should try it.
I don't need a bunch of carbonation. Like, I don't need a bunch of sugar.
I'm drinking a cutie little sparkling orange Celsius.
Now, to be
fair... Wouldn't you want to try that?
I am a very basic bitch when it comes to just what I drink in general. I like red wine. I like scotch. And I like water and coffee, and that's about it.
So, whole milk?
And warm whole milk.
After that list, whole milk needs to be on that list.
What are you talking? How dare you? Don't you put that milk juju on me?
I like black coffee, wine, scotch, and whole milk, because all that rest of that low fat ninny stuff can't even get on. Yeah, like, that's just...
Because I'm a real man. I like it right out the udder.
Yeah, I put my lips on the mudders and take it straight.
That's
why
list.
I like my milk uncut.
I've taken a few hooves to the face, but it's worth it.
That is Dave Farrah.
Hey, an answer to your guys is for the app, for the do background checks on drug dealers. You pretty much named it, On the Spot. That would be a good name for the app, because then they would be on the spot, because then you're rating them. And then other people, you know what I mean. They'd be on the spot. So Audrey had it.
Message deleted.
So there was a story that we shared the other day about the woman who was upset because she got some bad meth, and so she called the cops to report that she'd gotten bad meth from her drug dealer. I feel like there's got to be a rating system for drug dealers out there, right?
There should be. I don't know if, I mean, there's definitely something called Yelp for your for your actual pop places, your local legal places.
Like
yeah, but you could just go to Yelp. That's the modern day drug dealer. It's not like I'm still calling Julian my drug dealer from college. You know, like that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, of course Chad is a dirtbag that's going to make you smoke him out. Of course he is. He's selling you a bag of shaken seeds.
See, but here's the thing. My drug dealer in college would deliver me my weed, and so I felt like the least I could
do was
smoke him out.
Because you're a pretty woman. That did not happen. That is a experience.
Yeah.
So there is no drug dealer who would bring Dave and I any sort of, like, I mean, they would not bring us drugs. You always had to go to them.
Walmart parking lot or something, you know? Like, it was always a shady parking lot.
For me, it was a shady apartment that had tinfoil over the windows.
See, but I'm also a girl, and I'm getting upcharged, and I'm sure that was for, like, gas prices as well, like, to get to me. So, yeah, you guys were getting the oregano in the shady parking lots.
You didn't have a dash pass for
your
drug dealer?
I was having to, like, smoke them out and, like, pay upcharge for, like, nothing for like a pre-rolled joint for me as well because I didn't know how to do any of that. Can you please roll this for me as well?
Dude, I still don't know how to roll a joint.
I don't know anything.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Dave Mahoney and everybody. You guys ever think it's insult to injury to put cheese on a burger patty? Just a thought.
Message deleted.
No, that thought has never once crossed my mind.
As a man who loves cheese.
Yes.
Yeah. Like if Mahoney loves cheese.
I could probably... If my wife wants me to live, so, you know, like I would, there could be days where I would just eat nothing but cheese related products.
Oh yeah.
And I would be incredibly happy.
Do you feel like that's like the white people in us? Like all we want to do is just like put like American cheese on this German hamburger.
Smother it in Colby Jack.
Yeah. Like, or like, I don't know. Cause I'm with you. Like all I think about is, you know what'll make this food better? Cheese. And sometimes that's just not the case, but in my heart of hearts,
Cheese makes literally almost everything
except
fish sticks better. Almost everything else.
The fact you tried fish sticks, though, Mahoney, again, to my original point.
Dip them
in
nacho cheese.
That's why people stuff. Just putting cheese on everything.
There's no time that I feel like more of a piece of garbage than when I'm standing at the refrigerator in my boxers, probably shirtless, with a bag of shredded cheese. And I drop some of it on the floor, then I have to bend my fat ass over to pick up all the shrapnel of cheese that I've dropped because I didn't get it all on my fat face.
You really stand there and sprinkle cheese in your mouth?
Well, you've never...
You don't?
No.
I don't do that either.
Oh, live a little, y'all.
Dave and Mahoney.
So there is a story that has been circulating, and there have been a lot of people that have been upset by it, and understandably so, but Google fired 20 additional employees. I guess now the total number of people fired is 50 people, and there's been all these activists that have said, you know, Google, this huge corporation, is trying to suppress free speech. And
there's no such thing as free speech inside of a job.
I'm with you on this, Mahoney.
There's just not.
There's a lot of people that have been complaining about it and saying that, you know, Google doesn't have the right to be firing these people. Here's the thing, you dork. If you're sitting in the lobby of work holding up a sign protesting something that has nothing to do with you doing your job, you kind of deserve to be fired.
I feel like if you breathe loud in the cubicle area, you should also be fired. like there are 1,000 different reasons, but primarily disrupting a day's worth of work,
not just for yourself, but for everyone
else. You do that on your own free time, but while you're there and while you're working, that's their time. So it's like if you're crying about this, you just don't understand how the world works, whether you agree with what they were protesting or not.
It doesn't matter what they're protesting.
It
does not matter. Yeah. Any sort of protest, if you're showing up to work with a sign and you're not going to work, that is fundamentally and not doing
only
your
if
job.
There's only, okay, the only way that works, if you get more than 50.
Right.
If you get, like, everybody,
then it's different.
Right.
But it's also, like, if you are protesting your work the place that you actually worked at, and you wanted to make a stand, like, hey, this is something we don't agree with as all of your employees.
That's what a union's for.
Is also different, right? Because you're making a point to somebody, but when it has nothing to do, and again, irregardless of what the cause is and whether you agree or disagree, none of that matters. If you're showing up and you're disrupting work for everyone in the entire office, and you're sitting in the lobby with your little goofy homemade sign because you're angry about something that's happening on the other side of the world, it doesn't make any sense for these people
My
not
suggestion
to fire
suggestion to these folks before you do something like this, Google whether or not that's free speech or not.
I think that they didn't watch the training modules.
You know what? They probably didn't.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show. Dave and Mahoney present
Lazy Bones Mahomes.
Do I have to?
John is joining us today for a round of Lazy Bones Mahomes. John, how are you today, my friend?
Doing well.
Mahoney is either lazy or efficient in most people's eyes. How do you see him?
Well, you know, I tend to be one that likes to work smarter, not harder. So I think I'm decidedly in the Mahoney camp.
Oh, boy. All right. This is a man after my own heart, and everybody knows that my journey to true and utter and complete efficiency began when I was a young man, when a vision came to me in a dream. A ghastly figure hovered over my bed and said, "Young man, don't be scared. You'll live a truly happy life if you work smarter and not harder." And ever since that day, Dave, I woke up and pledged that I would work smarter and not harder.
So it wasn't from like hiking in the Alps, like you said last week. It was from a ghost in a dream.
I've had a lot of experience.
I see.
Was it one of the ghosts from Christmas past?
Why'd that guy have chains on him?
I don't know. Like, you think,
what was
like,
going on?
You're
what kind
ghost?
Of kinky BDSM were you into,
Why
ghost?
Why were you in that dress and that weird hat?
Where did you escape from, brother? All right, John. So I'm going to read you two things. Again, Mahoney's wife has shared these things with us from behind the scenes. Audrey and I have no idea what's correct, so we'll try to talk it out with you. But you're trying to find the one that's true here, even though both of these sound like they're absolutely true. So the first one here is Mahoney dutifully joins me at Trader Joe's and Costco every Saturday morning. And we share the task of unpacking the trunk and bringing in the food. There was one on this last trip where we bought two different watermelons, and Mahoney told me that he would take care of bringing them in as I was putting all of the rest of the food away. I got consumed with putting the food away, and I forgot about the watermelons. I noticed 3 days later that they weren't in the kitchen, and so I asked Mahoney, where could the watermelons possibly be? And he said, "Baby, I couldn't carry both of them and open the door at the same time, so I just left them in the trunk." And when I stared at him in awe, he shrugged his shoulders and said, "I can't believe you didn't notice two watermelons rolling around in your trunk. This is really on you, baby."
Oh, that would have sent me into a rage.
It's her fault.
My gosh, Mahoney. Okay, what's the second one, Dave?
Okay, the second one here is Mahoney went to Target recently to stock up on some necessary items like razors, Blistex, and deodorant. He checked out, headed home, and sat on the couch for a few hours without unpacking his car. When I finally unpacked his car for him, he realized that he'd left an entire bag at the store, which was worth about $75. I called the store to see if they still had the bag, and luckily, they did. I let Mahoney know that he could go get the bag, and he stated that he wouldn't make the 10-minute round trip back to Target for the $75 worth of items that he'd left. He just nonchalantly said, "That bag wasn't meant to be, baby."
That's 100% true. That is 100% true.
In my defense, I was doing my duty as a God-fearing American, and I put my cart up at the beginning and then carried the other bags to my car, and I didn't realize that one of the bags was in the front of the cart. So when you pushed it in to the corral, right as you exit Target,
you didn't notice a whole bag full
of
stuff.
To be fair,
the cart,
it was
the
razors,
the
which added to the big portion of that $75.
Okay, John.
I just know that Mahoney, whenever he's home, he's home. There's just no way. Like, he'll just chalk that up as an L. He's not going to go backtrack in order to get the $75 worth of stuff.
But
the first one absolutely sounds true.
4 miles from my house.
Oh,
4 miles.
No way.
That's 8 miles round trip.
Yeah, there's no way.
Okay, but let me throw this in.
Traffic lights in between there as well.
I think it's possible, though, that his wife made him go back, because his wife, very good with money, very frugal.
No way.
I think that she forced him to go back.
No way.
And get that
what do you mean forced?
Or she went and got it herself.
No, way. Absolutely not. That would be a 30-minute round trip that would be cutting into his time spent with his wife. Like, he's already making it to where he's having to, like, go and spend time with honey. He's not cutting in 30 minutes worth of his time to go to Target. He'll just order it on Amazon.
Okay, John, talk it out with us. What do you think? What sounds like it could be an untruth here? Because we're looking for the true one. So which one is more true? Him just leaving the watermelons in the trunk and then blaming his wife on it? Or him leaving $75 worth of razors and other toiletries in a Target shopping cart and just saying, that's an L?
Wow, that's a tough one. I mean, as someone who loves watermelon, I could not envision someone abusing watermelon in that way.
To be fair, those watermelon were on the floorboards of the back seat, so they wouldn't roll around that much.
I see.
Incognito mode. Uh-huh.
As a man who takes pride in his appearance, because I know that he goes for the expensive haircuts and, you know, wants to look good, has the gold chains and stuff like that, I just can't envision him leaving razors and such manly grooming items.
I can because of comfort.
30-minute round trip. I think, Audrey,
it's not 30 minutes of round trip.
It is 30 minutes with traffic.
4 miles. I've been to your house. I've been to that
Target.
That's
a 30-minute round trip.
It's not a 30-minute round trip.
It is with traffic, absolutely. Getting there and also time spent going into the Target to find it. Totally see this.
Audrey, if not only is beautiful, also very smart.
Heck yeah, I'm smart.
Just throwing that out there.
Okay, so maybe you guys are right and I'm wrong again. John, your final answer?
I'm going to say the watermelons. Watermelons are untrue.
So you're saying the truth is the Target one. You just left a $75 bag at Target because you didn't want to drive back to the store? Is that correct, Mahoney?
Yes. Dave, that is 100% correct. Audrey is like a damn psychic.
Dude, I learned it from you, man.
Called 100%. The only thing about the watermelon, there's only one watermelon.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
So yesterday I found myself doing something that was kind of penny-pinching, and I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just something that I grew up with. My son, who's 4 years old, he got a new pair of sneakers yesterday because his little Nikes, which, by the way, little kid shoes, adorable, had gotten pretty beat up, as you would imagine that they would. And so he got a new pair, and yesterday he didn't have school, and so he wanted to go outside and play, and he started to put on his new Nikes. And I was like, no, son. You don't wear your brand new white sneakers outside until you've debuted them at school, you see. And he didn't understand why he was not allowed to wear his new Nikes because they helped him run so fast.
He's also four.
He's four. But I was trying to explain to him, like, these are just the rules. I didn't make the rules. I also live by these rules. In fact, it wasn't just you need to wear these shoes to school once. If we got a pair of shoes, because we did some school shopping in the summertime, you weren't allowed to wear the new shoes until the start of the new school year.
Of course,
year.
Because right. Then those were all of your brand new clothes for the school year.
And there was nothing better than walking in to school on that first day, dripping
with
in
some
new
fresh
clothes,
threads.
Fresh kicks.
Yeah. So he understood?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
He put them on and went outside. But it got me thinking, like, what penny-pinching things did you do or your parents do when you were growing up in order to save a couple of bucks? And, like, I've got a long list because, you know, my mom especially was so frugal and so good at saving
kids.
Money. Six kids, you had to save money.
That's a lot of kids in one house.
Gabriella is joining us this morning. You've got something that your mom did after going through the Depression?
Yeah, it was the Depression. Mm-hmm. And my mother left high school after the ninth grade to stay home and help the family. And she raised rabbits to provide food for the family and to sell to the neighbors so that they could make money.
She had to raise rabbits and then kill them to feed the family?
Yes.
Oh, well.
Well, wait, that was just part of those times, though.
I think about that now, and I'm like, if I...
Bunnies are so cute.
I know. My dad said that he vividly remembers going back to his grandparents' house and them having turkeys, and you'd have to go and catch one of the turkeys on Thanksgiving
Day. Lop its head off.
And twist its neck and kill it?
Wow.
Yeah, man. I don't know if I could have lived during that time. I'm glad. You know, everybody romanticizes the olden days. I don't know if I could have been raising rabbits during the Depression. Hey, I would have been naming them.
In ninth grade, you're just
like, we're like, there goes Larry. My favorite.
She made rabbit cacciatore.
Ooh, wow. Dang. Okay, never mind.
That sounds good. All right, sorry, Larry.
Call or text us at 833-YO-DUMMY.
And on social media at Dave and Mahoney.
How did you or your parents penny pinch while you were growing up? Rita is joining us here. What's up?
You walk out of one room, you shut that light until you don't leave lights on. We didn't have a clothes dryer. We hung our clothes on the line.
Was power more expensive back in the day? Or because it doesn't seem, I know that a lot of stuff has gotten more energy efficient over the years, but it seems like back in the day, everyone's dad was crazy about leaving a light on. And now it doesn't seem like that's quite as much the case. But I'm with you on that one, Rita. I mean, every single light switch had to be off.
If you're not using the electricity, turn the light off, man.
So you're that way now still?
Yes.
Dave is an all lights on all the time kind of guy.
All lights should be off in my house at all times. I want to be a cave.
Look at the lights in the studio right now. Why do we have them all on?
They're not all on. There's like three lights that are on in here. There's lights in the studio. You turn lights on. That's why they exist.
No, Mahoney and I, if we were in here without you, the lights literally would be off and only we would have this DJ up lighting.
You guys are ridiculous. Greg joining us today here on the Dave Mahoney Show. What's up, Greg?
Penny pinching. I'm one of 8 kids. So growing up, my mother always made sack lunches for us for school.
Yeah.
And the rule was you got one paper bag per week. I lost my paper bag one, and she sent me to school with a bread bag.
We did the same thing, Greg. I'm one of 6 kids growing up, and we would reuse the paper bags. My mom would even reuse paper towels. So she would use a paper towel and then lay it out to dry it out so she could reuse it and get like 2 or 3 uses out of the same paper towel.
I remember I threw out like this hard piece of cheese out of the refrigerator, and she yelled at me and said, "I can cook with that."
The good old days, brother.
Great show, fellas.
Thanks.
Hey, have a good day, bro.
Audrey, what do you remember from growing up when it came to penny pinching? Like, what did your folks have you doing?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, so there was a time where my mom and stepdad were taking a sabbatical. Mm-hmm. And so basically she was a single mother for 2 years. And with that came me kind of taking care of myself. And I remember just sitting at home while she was at work and getting up from school. And the only things that I would have to eat, because they were cheap, and they were the dollar Tostino's party pizzas.
Which are still so damn good.
And the Lord, this is like when ramen noodles were not a dollar like they are now, which is hilarious.
10 cents.
10 cents ramen noodles. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I am drooling at the thought of thinking about those noodles. But what I would do to make them, you know, because I would get home and I'd be really, really hungry, is that I would make the two packs of the noodles for one pack of the sauce or whatever it is, like the spices that come with the ramen noodles.
That's the way you would go?
But that was because I would save the sauce so that if I had extra noodles, because noodles, you could find noodles wherever, but you can't find that sauce
that
anywhere.
Magic sauce.
Because that matters, right?
It does.
So like I would save that the sauce or like the seasonings, whatever you call that stuff that make the flavoring, I would save that because that was gold. And whenever I would get it, I would like lick the aluminum so that I would get every little last bit of flavor.
That had to be the most cancer-causing, whatever that seasoning is.
You know what? Worth it.
I mean,
worth it.
It's interesting that you go that way because ramen, again, it was so reasonably priced back then. I would just throw the other noodles out and I would use 2 spice packets for one thing of ramen and go buck wild.
I feel like having stories like this when you were growing up are what helped to give you perspective in life. Our friend Bill, who commented on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Dave Mahoney, who is a self-made millionaire, by the way. He's done great for himself. But he said when he was growing up, we went to Ponderosa for dinner, and I couldn't get sour cream for my baked potato because it was extra. Instead, my dad would say, go get the blue cheese from the salad bar because it was free. And he said, to this day, I still love blue cheese on my baked potato because that's how I grew up.
He liked it.
Yeah.
Well, he learned to like it.
Pretty good. I mean, they usually put blue cheese crumbles on things like that, so that doesn't seem like too out of the norm. My husband, that actually just jogged a memory. My husband said that growing up, whenever he was a kid, his dad would never let the table order anything other than water. So if they ever wanted lemonade or anything like that, you would order the lemons free, and then you would have the table sugar, and you would make your own lemonade at the table.
I love parent ingenuity. Like, I am not getting ripped off for this. You're going to make your own lemonade.
And you're a kid. You don't know any better. You know what I mean?
Just
like, it's just
flow.
Like lemon water with sugar. You're like, right on, man.
This is awesome. It hits. Greg said I was under 10 at the buffet until I was like 23.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
New message.
Call the Dave and Mahoney Show voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY.
That's 833-963-8669.
Why do some couples look like siblings?
Message deleted.
There is one couple that I know that look alarmingly similar. And
you're attracted to your own self. I think that's what it
that
is.
I mean, that's for real.
That's the science behind it.
Yeah. I mean, they look like they could be brother and sister. They almost look like they could be twins, you know, but paternal twins. It is a little weird because they get asked a lot if they're brother and sister, and they're like, no, we're having sex.
Yeah. How do you even respond to that? That's kind of awkward.
I feel like that's also kind of like a asking a woman if she's pregnant type of question, asking if they're siblings, you know, like that, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not something that's going to be a prolonged wonder when you meet somebody.
If I ever was asked that, I would be like, yeah, actually. And then just start making out with them.
From Alabama.
Yeah, like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, you know, what's so funny is that we used to pick on each other as kids. And blah, 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 blah. Like, like, what?
We used to argue a lot over toys until we figured this out. Oh.
Cringe.
Had to learn to share.
Okay. I do have an awkward question to ask you guys. Have you ever done that thing like on an app where you can see like the female version of yourself or the male version of yourself?
Yes.
I've seen those. I've never done it. But Dave?
So I have seen the female version of myself. And would I hit it? Yes, I would.
Of course you would.
Yes, myself as well.
Yeah,
me too. I was so attracted.
You're a hot man. Look at how good looking that chick is.
Now, nobody else thought that. I'm just myself.
But honestly, have you seen the NFL quarterback one?
Yeah. They're all hot.
Well, yeah, because it's like Trevor Lawrence. And Trevor, it's like, look, it's,
but still just Trevor Lawrence.
Actually, he doesn't look good as a chick.
And Andy Reid, I will say, oh, immaculate as a woman.
Jimmy G was the hottest. Jimmy G was like, dang, dude.
So my wife and I did where it turns her into a guy and me into a woman. I would not sleep with the female version of me, but I would be more likely to sleep with the male version of her, which just shows true love.
That's
please leave a message.
I love you in any universe.
Hey, Mahoney, I heard you spent some time in a mental institution. Yeah, I heard you had a pretty rough life. I heard all you got out of it was a couple loose screws.
Message deleted.
I have unfortunately never been able to attend or be put up in a mental institution because I would love to not ever leave the house be somewhere someday. But
resort living with applesauce.
Dave, socks are awesome.
Dave, you may remember this. They didn't try to send me to an institution, but they did try to send me to rehab one time.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to go because we had this boss who was just this kind of teetotaling. He did a whole bunch of cocaine in the 80s.
And he had, you know, projected drinking problem. And so anytime that anyone would drink, it was like, oh my God, how could you? You're like, dude, we're in our 20s.
In our big holiday show where we're being celebrated year end. I would always go very big and drink, but I would always be at work the next day. I never missed a day of work ever. And so when he heard that I had gotten a little too drunk, they wanted to send me to rehab, but I started looking into those like Waves or Malibu Shores, the ones that have like horses.
You and Lindsay Lohan on the beach doing yoga together.
We worked for CBS at the time, and they 100% like would have paid for that. And I was like, oh, I could get a vacation. And then they needed me for like a holiday thing. And so.
So you didn't get to go?
No, he didn't get to go to rehab.
He suspended Mahoney and was going to force him to go to rehab and then had forgotten that we were doing like a big holiday charity event to raise food for hungry kids.
So he like reverse Uno'd the whole thing?
Yeah, and like 4 hours later, like just kidding. Mahoney's like, son of a bitch.
I don't get to go ride horses.
Now I have to go sit in a parking lot and raise money for hungry kids. It's going to be in Malibu. This stinks.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I don't get it. My wife will jump completely out of her skin when you walk up on her and she's not prepared for it in the house. She knows you're there. She knows other people are there, but she will still just jump out of her skin and scream. See ya.
Message
so
deleted.
Recently, Dustin, my husband, has stopped responding to me whenever I go, hello, whenever he's coming into the house.
That's hilarious. Is he doing it to antagonize you?
Yes. So the other day, I had my finger guns out, ready to get him.
This is the Dave and Mahoney
this
Show.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
I am not one to tell someone else how to live their life. If you are not hurting anyone and you're doing what makes you happy, then so be it.
Consenting adults.
But Tyreek Hill, boy, did he have an interesting year last year. I mean, Tyreek Hill is one of the most prolific wide receivers in the entire game, arguably one of the fastest guys in the league. I mean, he is an exciting player to watch.
I mean, made Miami, you know, a decent team.
Yeah, it was huge component to what they were able to do offensively. Yep. But it seems like he is really enjoying his time in Miami.
And I like him.
If you didn't follow Tyreek Hill's year last year in 2023, boy, did he have it going on. So he just suddenly got married. Do you remember that? It was like the bye week for the Dolphins, and he got married to his fiance, and you're like, that just seemed pretty quick all of a sudden that he just suddenly out of nowhere got married. And there was even like some teammates and stuff. They're like, oh, you know, just kind of like surprised by it. Because it wasn't this big buildup. It wasn't really planned. It seemed like a spur-of-the-moment thing. And then if you recall, there was that petition for divorce almost immediately after, and he claimed that his lawyer filed that without asking him. So you're like, all of this is pretty chaotic. Simultaneously, there was the fire at his mansion, if you recall that.
Yeah.
Where he's like standing outside of it like, dang, watching his mansion burn down. And then it was also revealed that he had three different babies last year from three different women.
All around the same time.
All around the same time, and none of those women were his wife. So you're like, well, that's complicated. And now, I guess he just did an appearance on a podcast, and it turns out, because it was thought that he had six kids from four different women, turns out he might have double digits, like 10 or more kids.
Oh, I thought this whole time he had 11 kids. Or maybe I'm thinking of Nick Cannon.
I think
Nick Cannon has 11 kids.
11 or 13 or something like that.
And he's giving Nick Cannon energy.
Big Nick Cannon energy.
Which is so crazy to me because Nick Cannon definitely, so just kind of to pivot here, he himself has said that he is doing that on purpose. Like he wants to kind of have, he's got a little bit of a God complex where he's like, wanting to impregnate like as and have as many kids as possible.
Sure.
So whenever I hear that verbiage come from Nick and then I think about Tyreek Hill possibly getting up into the double digits as well, like there are so many contraceptives available, like birth control, vasectomies, condoms.
Sure, there's, you know, plenty of ways there's to not get have a pregnant. Kid.
None so, of those are fun.
Especially whenever.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what's a condom? Am I right, guys? No, I'm just kidding. But like, I think that there's just, it's just so weird whenever, because I also think about money. like I feel like, wouldn't you want to not have to pay a crap ton of child support for a kid that you barely get to see?
And I think that's part of it. Like the Nick Cannon thing kind of creeps me out because like he's trying to repopulate the earth and we don't need a lot more
but
Nick Cannons.
But he does see his kids. Nick does sure. go and catch some flights.
Tyreek Hill, on the other hand, it just seems like this is a dude who just does not care at all.
Hey, he's got too much expendable income.
Yeah. You're young, you're rich, you're in the physical prime of your life. Everybody's consenting adults. If, you know, you're going to have to pay down the road, that's on you when you're making less. But I would say this, because Dave, you have neighbors that have, like, what is it, 12 kids?
Nine kids.
Nine kids yeah. in your current neighborhood, and then you where you grew up in Brainerd, Minnesota.
17 kids.
So, again,
what?
Him just barely passing double digits, not that crazy. And also, I think if I were to have 11 kids, I would want to spread it out across, like, 7-8 different people, because all that many kids in one place, way too many kids.
It's too much. Yeah, yeah. I think we should
one
have
here,
a standing
two
rule.
There. It's fine.
If you score a touchdown and you can land a standing backflip, you're allowed to impregnate up to three different women in a year. That's just how it works.
Diary you guys
kill.
Are so gross.
No,
those are the rules.
You. Yep, sorry.
The rules.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Hell yeah.
These people remove the toothpick from their mouth when taking a wedding photo. It's the Redneck Report.
Redneck Report. On Dave and Mahoney.
You know, normally in the Redneck Report, there's a lot of stupid people doing stupid things, and I don't like to celebrate all of them, but there's some from time to time, like this one, where I go, I'm not mad at you for trying.
What happened, Dave?
A 36-year-old woman by the name of Kira Enders and Dakota Jones, 32 years old, from Florida, they're facing charges for allegedly fabricating a winning lottery ticket.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They taped together two lottery tickets to try to make it seem like they had won $1 million, and turns out they had not.
Mm.
And so now they are facing all kinds of charges, but again, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
I mean, they gave it your best college try or best community college try.
So a plumber identified as James Edward Keister Jr., he's a documented gang member and a convicted felon, which makes this even funnier. He allegedly threatened to shoot a Florida Highway Patrol officer on Sunday because of something that didn't even involve him. So the incident occurred on the highway. I guess this guy reported the cop because he said the cop was speeding.
Mm-hmm.
And he was mad that the cop was speeding.
Making a citizen's arrest.
So
here?
He called 911 to report the cop was speeding and then said, if I see that guy speeding again, I'm going to shoot him. And they were like, oh, really? What's your name and where are you, pal? We'll come talk to you about this and take down a report.
Did he give his name?
Yes, he gave his name and his location, and they're like, you know that what you're saying is against the law to threaten to shoot a police officer. And he's like, I don't care. I feel justified. And then he pulled a Karen and tried to ask for the 911 operator's supervisor. So they went out to where he was in his plumbing van, and they went, oh, well, as it turns out, you, Mr. Convicted Felon, also gang member, you have a gun on you, which you're not allowed to have.
What gang let him in with a last name as Keister?
Middle
Keister.
Name.
Like, I mean, I feel like, you know, like you should not have EEO requirements or protections in gangs. Like, I feel like if there was ever a safe space where we didn't have to hire based on, you know, like, equality.
Yeah, there's no diversity training in a gang.
Right.
I don't know, though, man. This is just Darwinism at its finest because, of course, Mr. Keister ended up in jail.
Right.
This is Dave and Mahoney. This is the Dave and Mahoney
this
Show.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Audrey, as a friend, I worry for you. This would be something that would be an irreconcilable difference if it was in my relationship, so I am proud
Why
of you.
Why are you going to set me up with doom like that?
That you're brave enough to talk about this on the air.
So yesterday we were running errands, which is like one of my favorite things to do with my husband is go to and from like Target or like the Starbucks or the grocery store. We love quality time spent with each other. Mahoney, I feel like you can kind of get down on this. Mm-hmm. So whenever we're together though, and my husband needs to work because he does a lot of work from, you know, from his phone or from his laptop, and if we're running errands, he'll multitask and he'll have his sure. phone out. Well, he's already kind of really bad at doing this in general, so whenever we add an extra distraction to the mix, it gets even worse. So we're walking into Trader Joe's to get some flowers, and I look around, and Dustin's nowhere to be found. I'm like, where is he?
Trader Joe's isn't that big. I mean, as far as grocery stores.
I haven't even made
stores.
It into the barrier of entry of Trader Joe's.
You're not even inside the store yet.
I like him, and where the doors are finally opening, like the forest with Darth Vader, and the little electric doors open, and I feel the nice AC hit the nape of my neck, and I turn around looking for Dustin to go, wow, that feels so good. And I'm like, where the hell are you? He is all the way still back by the car, moving in as slow motion as you possibly, as a human, I think, can possibly go. And I was like, I finally kind of chirped him on it because this is something that's been kind of annoying me over the last few years.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, why do you walk so slow? And his rebuttal was, you just walk way too fast. You walk like you have anxiety to get to and from places. And I think that it's just
So this wasn't an isolated incident?
Oh, no, he
walks slow all of the time?
Well, kind of, yeah. Yeah. Like, I'll find myself, like, because my stepdad was in the military. And I think that with that, it came like he always, or maybe it was his parents, I don't know. I really don't know the lore of that. Maybe we should break that down in therapy. But he was always walking so fast everywhere. Like, dude. So I was always having to catch up with my dad.
Same. And my dad, I mean, like, I remember distinctly as a child being with my dad at like the mall or something and trying to keep up.
Because he would
almost
get angry.
Having to, yeah, you're like, come on. I mean, and granted, there was like six kids, so, you know, kind of annoying
Burning
to
cats.
Have to herd a bunch of kids. But my dad always walks so fast, and because of that, I am also a very fast walker.
I'm a pretty fast. I think that I'm not an average paced walker. Like I will give him that.
I don't think I could. My wife is also a fast walker. I don't think I could deal with it if she was a mosier. It would drive me.
He's so
insane.
Leisure. So, but it is a test of my patience because he is telling. He's kind of. It was a teaching moment for me. I think in my brain. I'll frame it as that.
Uh-huh.
Because I really do, if I'm going, I'm like I need to be somewhere, I need to be doing something, I need yes. to be like going as fast as possible yes. in order to complete whatever task I've set in my head.
Because that is the correct way to do things.
And also, I think it's our parents, right? Like our mm-hmm. parents taught us to like, get in, get off, get out. Like yep. if I'm in the grocery store, I'm not moseying anymore.
Go.
Like we're just going.
Go.
So he was like, you just need to like learn to relax.
Nope.
Just chill out and relax.
There is an upside to this, Audrey, though. I think him being a slow walker is a good thing because if he ever threatens to walk away from your relationship, you'll catch him. No problem.
Dave and Mahoney. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
I got a message for you.
Leave a message for the Dave and Mahoney Show anytime by calling 833-YO-DUMMY. That's 833-963-8669.
To get that, please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, this is for Dave. I was listening to the podcast and you're talking about the barbecue and leaving it on. Thanks. On my way to work, using the barbecue last night, I had gave myself second thoughts. Sure enough, barbecue was off. I knew it was off, but thanks to you, dickhead, I now had to have my wife go check it. You know what? I hope your wife had fun with Colombian tin and took you to the cleaners and the divorce for your 10 prostitutes.
Message deleted.
So funny okay. that he just said that because I literally just texted my husband, I love you even when you cheat on me in my dreams because I just had a dream cheat.
Yeah.
There's nothing more villainous than that, Dave.
So look, he's referencing when my wife accused me of leaving the gas on the barbecue mm-hmm. grill. And that is not possible because I have a routine to make sure that the gas is always turned off on the grill every single time.
Your routines are annoying.
No, they're perfect. that's why the gas does not get left on.
Yeah.
It's not just that the actual knob on the grill is off. The actual propane tank is off as well. And my wife thought that I had left the gas on. And she said, hey, I actually went outside and I smelled gas. And I said, you don't suppose it could be one of our rotten children that are constantly messing with stuff that maybe left the gas on? And also, we grilled last night. So if you went out this morning and smelled gas, it probably wasn't me leaving it on from last night.
Yeah, it would have been gone already.
And then I went over and I opened the door and sure enough, the gas was on. And there was also 37 rocks that somebody had placed in there, which I'm guessing may have been the same culprit that left or turned the gas on after I'd clearly turned it off. I was offended. I'm still offended.
I mean, I kind of want to have a kid to blame all the stuff I do wrong on, kind of like a dog. But like, you know, I mean, you got probably like what, 6 more, 7 more years till the kids can, till your youngest can start completely debunking your lies,
like fully litigate things. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Maybe the worst reason to have a kid, but you never know.
Yeah. You know. You're, yeah. I think it's a good reason, Mahone. It's noble.
Is that noble?
Please leave a message after the tone.
Is there anything you guys were trying to go gatekeep that got exposed?
Message deleted.
So this is an interesting question because I love craft beer, and I have been a craft beer fan for well over 2 decades. I started drinking craft beer right when I was like around 19 or 20 years old, discovered that beer could actually be good, fell in love with it. This is like 1999, and I just absolutely fell in love with craft beer. And I used to be a beer snob. And so I would say you could gatekeep that, but then I don't know if age or just kind of like learning to understand people better, because I thought, like most craft beer drinkers, I was better than everybody.
Of course you did.
Because I'm like, oh, you're drinking a macro beer.
Dude, you are one Luddite. You were one IPA away from growing a man bun.
He had the mustache and the flannel button down.
You did. You had the ironic mustache. You were hipster galore.
Leaning into that way too hard. But I will say, as I got older and as I, you know, maybe experienced more, like just like letting people do things that make them happy.
Yeah.
Is like so important. And like, and as I've gotten older, just learning to embrace that more so for everybody. If it makes somebody happy, who cares what they're doing, just so long as it doesn't affect anybody else.
And I'll say this much. As an IPA drinker myself, I can fully and confidently tell you that I am better than no one.
Uh-huh.
I am just a drunk piece of garbage that happens to be getting drunk on an IPA.
Right. We're trying to take something that we tried to turn an addiction into a hobby.
Right.
Make it classy.
It's a classy drunk.
Dave and Mahoney. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So, Audrey, we were talking about a couple of weeks ago how there was this restaurant in New York City that had outsourced their customer service representative. So you would go into this restaurant and you would place your order, but instead of a person being there to take your order, they still wanted the human interactions, but they had it outsourced to the Philippines. And they were saying that it was very efficient for this restaurant in order to outsource it because the obviously working wages in the Philippines much lower than those in Manhattan for people.
But it's hilarious. But so it's like cheap.
But
so, okay.
The thing that got people really upset is that even though these people were outsourced and they're from the Philippines, they were still asking for a tip.
Weird.
And people are like, no, man.
Nah,
like,
man.
What are you talking about? I'm talking to somebody clear across the world, and now you basically want me to supplement their salary, even though the reason
you're
doing
that— So you can continue to make more money?
Is so you don't have
business?
To employ people here right. in the United States? Cool.
No.
Nice thought. But it is interesting, like, when you call a customer service line, some of the interactions that you get. And, Audrey, you had a fascinating one the other day.
I called a customer service agent for a internet company, fiber optic internet company,
yep.
And I called, and the first thing that I hear after hello was a rooster on repeat, like on loop. It was almost like if you were to take a child farm toy and say, what does a rooster say? And then it just does that same noise over and over and over again. That was the entirety of the call. And at some point, I remember me going, I can't, sir, I'm so sorry. I can't even think about what I'm trying to talk to you about right now because I'm so distracted by the farm animals in the background of this call.
Yeah, it's one thing like if there's a dog barking because a lot of people are working from home. That's a
baby crying.
A baby.
Sure.
But a full farm in the background, like a rooster cock-a-doodle-doo.
And he sounded like he was like from Eastern Europe. Like, I mean,
okay.
Like, I mean, like it was like I was talking to some guy like in Turkey. Like, I was so confused at this, how this was happening.
Like, bro, go out back and murder that rooster because clearly that rooster needs to shut the hell up.
I was so angry. And it only angered me more because there's nothing more infuriating to begin with having to call customer service. There's just something so annoying about it that you're even having to do it.
And then when you know you're talking to somebody that's on the other side of the world because, again, the company is too cheap to actually pay people here in order to do it, that also makes you mad. But then when you're constantly distracted and interrupted by a farm animal.
Cock-a-doodle-doodling right? In the background.
Shut up.
That's a wrap.
Well, it's about time.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Show on social media at Dave and Mahoney.
At Dave and Mahoney.
They're everywhere.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram.
Listen anytime and on demand at DaveandMahoney.com.